hacksaw. 2x4, it is hacksaw, tough guy, knowing it's the hacksaw hour. 2x4, it is hacksaw, tough guy, knowing it's the hacksaw hour.
What's up, everybody? It's Marcus D'Angelo, and we're back for another episode of the Hacksaw Hour. And of course, you know this man right here. That is the Hall of Famer himself, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. What's going on, man?
Well, Marcus, we've been doing this long enough. I don't have to get you to do it, brother. Give me one. Come on, man.
You got it, brother. Oh!
Hey, no, you're just joking, honey. I'll tell you. You got heat right off the bat, brother. Oh, no. How you been, Marcus? Everything going good?
Everything's going really well, Jim. I'm psyched to be sitting down here with you. This is going to be our fourth episode of the Hacksaw Hour, and so far, so good. Everybody's really enjoying what you're doing there on Ad Free Show.
No comment.
Well, we'll keep the train rolling.
A lot of folks got some free time.
Everybody's got time for some hacksaw stories, man. And today is going to be no different. We're doing another mailbag series where the mailbag.
Oh, I thought you were insulting me.
Never, Jim. Never.
No, the mailbag. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, no, the guys, Ted DiBiase and Jake, both tell me all the time that you're nobody to mess with. So don't worry. You'll never get an insult from me.
Oh, great. I pull a hamstring if I get off this chair quick. Kidding, brother. It's a hammy.
Well,
that was back when I was dancing back in the day because Deborah didn't like to dance, but I'd like to go out there and jump around. And people come up and they're like, did you hurt your hamstring? I'm like, no, I'm dancing.
It's just how you dance.
It's a unique move.
But hey, look, I'm going to be teeing you up for a number of stories because the members over there at Ad Free Shows, they delivered as they always do with a bunch of questions. So we'll get to as many as we can. If we miss yours, I'm going to roll them over into the next episode. So don't worry, we'll get them in there. So first up, Jim, we've got Bryant Haremza.
Hi, Brian.
He says, what was it like working in Japan? I know you had some matches with Antonio Inoki. What was it like working with him?
Well, that was great. Well, I was pretty green when I had the opportunity to work with Inoki. I mean, what a huge star. I mean, folks in this country don't realize what a big star Antonio Inoki was in Japan. And I think he went on to become like a congressman in their government over there. But I was pretty green when I went over there. I think I was wild man Duggan. So I had the fur with the change on it. And that was my first trip to Japan. So I was pretty intimidated to be out there working with that. Plus it's a whole different atmosphere, especially back then that you had no interaction with the people. It would just be, they'd clap, you know, it was hard for Hacksaw.
Now, going out there, did you get into sushi, Jim, or start eating the local cuisine, or how did that go?
No, I was happy to see a McDonald's. You'd be like, a McDonald's, holy smokes, a McDonald's, he's a McDonald's. You'd go in, you have the McSquid sandwich. It was delicious, you know.
The McSquid. Boy, a whole other world over there. And
you know, a lot of guys loved it. My two best friends, all three of my best friends, God bless them, are gone. Terry Gordy from the Fabulous Freebirds, Dr. Death, who I was living with when I met Deborah, and of course Piper, and all three of them are gone. But anyway, Doc and Gordy, they made almost a career out of Japan. A lot of guys love Japan. Yep. But I it's the only time in my career I was over there for 5 weeks, and I was crossing days off on the calendar towards the end. I was ready to come home, man. Yeah, it's nice to go see the culture and everything. But, you know, over there, work, especially New Japan and all Japan, you travel the whole country. You're on a bus, a plane, a train. You know, you're on those bullet trains, on ocean-going ferries. It's quite an experience. So I went over probably 8 to 10 times. We do this small little independent company over there. I can't really think of the name of it. But DiBiase was the commissioner. Doc was working. He was the champion. Rotundo was over there. Barry Windham, I went over in Boss Man, and I won their belt over there, and I brought Deborah. I'm like, I have to bring my manager. And they're like, Duga-san, no manager, no. I said, yeah, I got a blonde-haired manager. I got to take her with me, you know. So, boom, I brought Deborah over. I mean, what an experience to bring my wife with me over there to Japan. And we used her in the finish. So I don't know. We got a pretty good house. You know, it's me and Boss Man in the finish. We're going at it. Boom, boom, boom. Big double knockout. Boss man goes down. Boom, he hits the referee. I'm down. Boss man's down. The referee's down. Place is going crazy. Boss man gets up before me, looks around. There's my 2x4. He grabs my 2x4, comes to hit me with a 2x4. Deborah rolls in behind him, grabs the board from behind. Boss man turns around. Roar! She bails out of the ring. Boss man turns back around that 3-point stance. Boom! 1, 2, 3. Ho!
That's a pretty good finish.
Yeah, it was a pretty good finish, man. Yeah.
That's awesome. And that was that had to have been your during your time with WWF. So probably, I guess, your second.
Yeah, it was. I'm not even sure when it was. I know. Actually, it's funny this came up because a kid at the autograph session we were at this weekend brought the tape from it, and it's very obscure. It's hard for anybody even to find it, but it's yeah, a small independent Japanese company. Like I said, DiBiase was there, Teddy. And they only ran a few shows, and they, you know, one time we got dressed in the back of a truck, you know. So they do outdoor shows and parking lots and stuff, but we had a great time, and you would just work in one area of Japan.
Yeah.
So you'd go over for a week, you'd stay at the same hotel, you wouldn't travel all over the place. I enjoyed that, but working for the big companies where you make your money, you really worked for it, you know, where that was like a paid vacation.
Next up, we've got Bobby KF5GTX, and he asks, what did you think when Vince bought the Georgia Championship Wrestling time slot in 1984? Do you remember that, Jim?
No.
I think they called it Black Saturday, where all of a sudden the competition, Vince buys the time slot, and all of a sudden the competition is on TV, where Vince came on to Georgia.
I wasn't even aware of that, brother.
Yeah. That was actually,
because like I said, back then, man, I did my deal. I was with Doc or Gordy. We were part, you know, Terry Taylor and DiBiase and Ric Flair. They'd be at some fancy Dan disco, you know. Doc, me and Gordy be down at some biker bars, you know, having a good time. We didn't pay attention to the. We do our match and leave. You know, everybody else stay around. What? You see the last match? No, didn't see it.
You know,
I wasn't, and that's why I never worked for the office. You know, I never was an office guy. I never went to Vince's house. I never went to Bill Watts's house. I never went to Paul Bosch's house. They were my boss, and I was an employee for them. They weren't my friends.
So you weren't really a guy to play politics ever. You just show up and do
your job. Yeah, I wasn't a political guy at all, man. I just did my deal. And, that was my – even when they made me the janitor, I just felt, give me my TV time. I'll get my character over. Whatever you want to do. Okay, we're going to make you the janitor of the WCW. Well, great. We had everybody to play. Oh, Team Canada was cooking. I mean, I just felt, as long as they gave me my opportunity, it didn't matter really what they did with me. Except one time they had me go out in purple trunks and gold boots and a great big, huge WCW flag. And they said, get the crowd chanting. Dad Sullivan's like, get the crowd chanting WCW like you do USA.
Wow, that didn't quite work, huh?
No, that's out there though. I still got the purple trunks, eBay.
Do you really? All right. Well, there's a collector's item. I have never heard of that. You going out there in purple trunks and gold boots, just trying to get.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, I got to find that video.
There's a lot of strange video out there. Don't believe all of them, though.
We've got Justin Samuels up next. In WCW, they had tape fist matches and said your history goes back to Irish bare knuckles brawlers. Did you like this character or did you prefer the USA tough guy?
Well, of course, I liked the USA tough guy. That's Hacksaw Jim Duggan. That's not a character. That's pretty much who I am. You know, right. You know, they said, where's the character from? But I asked my wife. She's like, he's right here. Him and Jack Daniels, he's out.
And honestly, looking back at this bare knuckle boxer thing, you were just still Jim Duggan, but now you just taped your fist up.
Well, I thought it was great because that was one of the more involved vignettes they ever did with me, man. I mean, if you think of it, they dressed me up as a grandmom. We went to an Irish bar somewhere in Atlanta. They did the whole, they spent some time and money on the whole vignette for me, which very few, they never do a lot of vignettes with me. You know, drive up in a pickup truck, get out, yeah, it's your vignette, Duggan, good job. So this, so I always need to do something involved. And of course, I had fun with it because I always carry the tape in my trunk. So it'd be like, especially at a house show. And then you had a tape, it worked out good. And it just wound up and boom, it worked out good. Yeah, it was a neat little gimmick. I was happy with, like I said, as long as I was involved. You know, I realized my spot. I'm not the marquee guy. I'm not going to be your world champion. You know, I don't have the blonde hair, the white teeth, and the great body. And I'm just not, you know, that's, Hogan, Kurt Hennig would have been a great world. Dolph Ziggler, I always thought, would have been a good world champion.
Yes.
That's kind of your marquee guy. Like I said, we're all not lead singers in the band. Hogan's the lead singer. I'm back there playing the drums, baby.
Just happy to be part of it.
And it's a good spot. It's a good spot.
It is, for sure. And if I remember right, those vignettes that they shot with you were actually in Ireland, right?
No.
Oh, they weren't?
No.
Where were
we
they?
We were all at an Irish, all Irish stuff in Atlanta, Georgia. They took me around Atlanta. They didn't spend that much money on it, brother.
Wow, I bought it.
I wasn't involved in it yet, but yeah, they didn't spend that much money on it.
So
I enjoy going to Ireland. I had a good time in Ireland, but...
Yeah, they positioned it like, we took him back to Ireland to explore his roots. But
yeah, they showed the plane taking off, me getting off the jetway. I mean, it's wrestling, brother. Holy,
they got me.
And it worked out good because that was the deal. People say, well, Hacksaw, what was your favorite move? I said, I kick and punch. Yeah, I'm a brawler. I'm not a wrestler. Guys like Kurt and Sean and DiBiase, they're wrestlers. Doc and Gordy and me, we were brawlers.
And it works. You just tape it up. You punch the guy. That's the finish. It's a good finish.
Good finish, yeah. And have fun with it, too. Like I said, especially at house shows. Like, no, that's not it. No, not it.
Hector Mesa is up next. I hope you're well, Hacksaw. We're cheering
Thank you.
For you.
Thanks.
He says, can you tell your version of the story Jake Roberts told on Tales from the Territories where you allowed a bar fighter to bite your fingers so you could locate his face?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's me and Terry Gordy, Jackson, Mississippi, at a Saturday night at a place called The Reservoir. Last thing you want to do is get in a fight in Jackson, Mississippi at a Saturday night, right? So we're drinking whiskey back in the day, you know. And I get up, and Gordy comes in, and he's been outside. I don't know, he's doing something herbal outside, I guess.
Presumably, yes.
He comes in and gets me. I'm like, Gordy, I said, take me outside, brother. I'm too messed up. So Gordy's kind of got me by the arm. We're going out. Boom, I bang into this great big guy. And so we go out the hallway, and Gordy, he stops in the hallway. I go outside, you know, now fresh air. I feel pretty good, you know. I'm out there for a while. No Gordy, you know, no Gordy, no Gordy. So I open the door, and there in the foyer, there's Gordy and this great big guy arguing. And I'm like, you know, what the hell's going on here? And the guy goes, hey, I don't want no trouble. I said, get out of here. He goes, hey, I don't want no trouble. And boom, he kicked me in the groin, punched me, broke my glasses, and cut my eye.
Oh, geez.
I said, thank God this guy don't want no trouble. He'd really be on my ass. So now I'm throwing the heavy stuff at him. Boom, boom. He's stepping back. Pow, pow. And you know, when you're real drunk, you're getting those kicking the shit out of me. So now we get into the chairs, you know. So, boom, we get in the chairs. I go down and he starts putting the boots to me, right? So I reach up to get him. He almost bites my thumb or my finger off. But I joke is that it worked out great. I finally knew where he was. I got him. He goes down. I jump up top of him. Six bouncers got me. Break it up. Break it up.
Where were they when you were down?
You know, so they take me and they throw me outside, right? And Gordy's outside with me and I'm cooking, man. You know, this back in the day. They lock the doors of the bar and I'm pounding under the doors. He owes me. He owes me. And here come the coppers, right? And they come up. And of course, we're on TV. Everybody knows who we are. And the copper goes up to Gordy and goes, "Hey, get Hacksaw out of here or you're both going to jail." Gordy comes up. He goes, "We're going to take you to jail." And I just got out of jail from Corpus Christi. I'm like, "Hey, old." We get in Gordy's Scooby Doo van. We take off. I got my finger in a glass of Jack Daniels, and the cops are going meow, 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 the other way, right? So the next day, I'm at TV. My eyes all swollen up. You know, I'm all beat to shit. And I try to lace up my boots, and you hear, "He owes me." One of the other boys, "He owes me." They were ribbing me forever. Everybody be giving me, I'd be in the ring in the headlock. "He owes me."
Oh my God.
You don't know the boys.
Well, now, wait a minute. We went over something there. I don't want to let it slide by. You said you had just gotten out of prison in Corpus Christi. What happened there?
Yo, I wasn't in prison, brother. Jeez.
Oh, just in like
I spent the night in jail. What the hell, okay. You know? It's like I said, the transformation. From before I met Deborah to where I went today, and how she, because like I said, I would have been dead years ago, man. I carried a gun. I was in bar fights all the time. It's like from Hacksaw Mid-South to the King of Wrestling. Huge transformation. It was a different time back then, too, early 80s, you know. But anyway, we're in Corpus Christi, and I had Bob Sweetan with me, who is a piece of garbage, Sweetan. That's a whole nother story.
That's what I always hear.
No, it's
about
actually
Bob.
Part of this story. It's actually part of this story. So I just came back from Japan working with Inoki. Oh. So I bought myself a Trans Am. I got a Burt Reynolds Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am, right? And that, you know, the nasty boys always say, "Duggan, back in the day when it had been a Trans Am at 357 under the seat and a hot stripper, woo, going down the road."
Well, Wildman Duggan was a shoot.
Oh my God, it was a wild time, man. Good to get through it. But so anyway, so we're in Corpus and we're heels. And so I was like semi whatever. We got done and we're going to the 7-Eleven right there across the street and get some beer. And as we pulled in, wait, assuming the last match would go a little while, right?
Right.
Last match was over like that. The people come out of the show. Now we're in with the people. You know, we should have been gone before the people get there. So now they're all, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And so one guy almost backed into me as I was walking to the car. So poof, I broke a beer bottle on his car. I went and I got my little Trans Am with Sweet Tan. And then these two guys, they get out of their car and they come up to me. And the one guy comes up. He pops me through the window, you know, so I jump out, boom, I pop him, he goes down. The other guy's got like an afro. He's dancing around, like, I caught him. And just as I hit him, the cop car pulls in with the high beams on.
Oh, no.
So I made for the car, they're like, "Halt, halt." So I spent the night in jail, and then Sweetan took my car and drove back. We were living in San Antonio, working for Joe Blanchard, Tully Blanchard's dad.
Yeah.
And he took the car back to San Antonio. So I got out of jail the next morning. And they're like, "You want your oatmeal?" Yeah. But anyway, I ended up catching a Southwest flight from San Antonio to from Corpus to San Antonio. Sweetan took my car and left me in jail.
When you saw Sweetan, are you like, "What the hell, man?"
Oh, yeah, I had quite a talk with him.
I have not heard good things about Sweetan from pretty much
anybody. He abused his own kids. He was a piece of garbage.
Oh, man, yeah, not a great guy. Guy who is a great guy and who I know you've got a good relationship with is part of this next question. Lenny Bakken, friend of the show, asks, "Is there any truth to the rumor that Hillbilly Jim was a little threatened when you came to the WWF as you and him had similar appearance?"
Obviously we both were competitive guys. We both kind of the same type of gimmick. Yeah, there was definitely that competitive feel there. You know, especially when we were talking earlier about doing that primetime show, and it was Kurt and Bobby and me and Hillbilly and Vince at the table, right? And I'd be talking my point, and I, you know, got a little hot there. Hillbilly's like, "That's right, Hacks, how you telling, brother? You go ahead, you tell." I'm like, "I'm talking. I will tell them." You know, and every once in a while, you'd be doing your shot, and he'd be like, leaning into the shot. But that was in the early days. But then we ended up he did more stuff outside the ring than I did. I was more in the ring. He'll be doing a lot of promo stuff for the front office. But we were housemates in Legend House.
Yes.
So I got to know Hillbilly. We became friends, you know, not great friends, but we became good friends at Legend House. And that's what I joke, because, you know, me and Tony Atlas, we almost had a fist fight. I mean, we were this close to having a fist fight. It was a shoot. And wouldn't have been good for either one of us. Nobody's going to win that one, brother. You know?
No.
But anyway, as I joke, I said, and Tony had trouble with everybody in the house. I said, I can understand having trouble with me and Piper. We're a pain in the ass too, you know. But how do you have trouble with Hillbilly Jim? The guy's like a Buddhist monk. He meditates, plays music, writes music, cooks food. He's quite a guy. Yeah, he was quite a gentleman. He really was. And Tony had trouble with him. I said, I walked by Tony's room one day. He was arguing with the mirror.
He's just one of those guys. Hard to get along with.
Oh my God, I love Tony. I see him, you know. And nowadays, of course, bygones be bygones.
Yeah,
I don't carry any animosity about anybody about Matt Bourne, but that's another story.
Right. Well, Lenny's got. Speaking of animosity, Lenny's got another one. He's saying Bill Watts has been accused of being a bully to some of the wrestlers, especially back in the Mid-South UWF days. Does Jim agree with that? Did he ever see Bill being a bully?
Yeah, sure did. Bill was definitely a bully. He's a changed man now, like a lot of guys. Sean, DiBiase, Reborn Christians has changed their lives. I think Bill really did. But back in, of course, it was a different atmosphere. You're coming out of the carnival time of the wrestling, where people were marks and you're working them for their money and not their fans, and you're putting on a show for their entertainment. Right. It was a whole different mindset. So I remember one in particular time. They had this kid, he came down, he looked good, he had a good body, he was an amateur, and he wanted to be a pro wrestler, you know, he'd been watching the show and everything, and Bill was like, well, okay, yeah, get in the ring there, get in the ring, and roll around with Steve Williams, yeah, roll around with Doc.
Oh, boy.
And Doc's an NCAA wrestling champion. Well, there with Doc, man, Doc kind of stretches him a little bit, but not bad. He blows him up, where the kid's like, Bill gets in there. Okay, let me see what I can do. Boom, he puts him in the sleeper. Boom, 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 puts him out. Got to call the ambulance for the kid. I mean, and the kid's out of the ring. I said, now he's got a whole new respect for the business. You know, and that's, you know, a lot of people, Brett's one of my great friends. I love Brett. I just saw him recently at a show.
Yeah.
Oh, and Stu Hart. I got along with Stu. But he used to hurt people up there. You know, he'd get the guys up to the dungeon, and that was like almost an initiation, because he'd go ahead and he goes, let me get this in on you. Hold on there. You're a big guy. Hold on. Boom. And then boom, he'd lock it in and put you out. Yeah. That's a common fact. So, yeah, I never liked that.
Yeah, we always hear that, you know, back in the day, they would try to run anybody off who was trying to get into the business, right?
Why it was such a huge favor Von Erich, Fritz, gave to me. I mean, it's great to see his movie coming out. I hope they show him in a decent light. It's a tragic story, no matter what. Of course, it's the curse of the Von Erichs. But and Fritz took a little heat for that. You know, I got in the ring, and David Manning showed me the ropes, actually showed me, learned how to hit the ropes and stuff. Gary Hart gave me my first pair of trunks, and Gino Hernandez, of all people, gorgeous Gino, would take me out. It took me under his wing. I stayed with him for a while, and that's when I was trying to do the disco deal. I had gold chains and stuff. I tried to run with Gino, you know. I had the razor cut hair, had the mustache, you know. We're at the discos, drove me all around Gino. I go, hi. They're like, But and that went full circle when Gina was going down. He came and stayed with me in Louisiana for a while when he was having his trouble. But I got along with you. I got along with most guys.
Now, you said when Gino was starting to struggle, he came and stayed with you. I mean, at the time when you're partying with him, was he, I mean, obviously probably using substances, but was he pretty in control?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, nobody was doing anything injectable back then.
Okay.
You know, yeah. Everybody, it was the 80s. Everybody was doing the blow, you know.
Yeah.
And then that's what killed so many guys. They do the blow, and they're like, I got to get some sleep.
Downers.
Yeah. Or as Brian Knobs would say, he'd get on the plane, he'd go, rainbow stew, rainbow stew.
Boom. Oh, my God.
He was kind of our guinea pig. You'd have something like, what are those? I don't know. Give Knobs one.
He'll figure it out.
Everybody watch him, see what happens. Boom, don't take that.
You mentioned that that new Von Erich movie that's coming out. They just did the trailer for it. Did you get to see the trailer yet?
No.
Okay, so it's I can't really tell if they're gonna paint Fritz in a positive light or not, based on the trailer. Like, I hope they do, because I've also heard good things over the years. But you know, it makes me wonder too. You know, a big subject there is gonna be Carrie Von Erich. Did you spend a lot of time around Carrie?
Not a whole lot. Him and Bossman and Kurt and Rick Rude all hung together, and all four of those guys are dead, man.
Wow! Wow!
Yeah. They were there. They were their own little crew. I got along with them. You know, we'd go out. Everybody liked to go gargle whiskey with Kurt, you know.
That's to prove that you didn't throw it out, right?
Yeah.
You gotta gargle it.
Yeah, back in the day, are you kidding? Floor is awful wet.
That's you always heard about Flair doing that. He'd be like, all right, let's all do a shot. And then he just throws it over his shoulder.
So, but yeah, not the only one. It's common, especially if you get a jerk at a bar, you know. We had one with an NFL guy, you know, a big time NFL. You wrestlers, I drink at you guys under the table. They go, okay, go out. Then I have a party with him, you know, we all drank, you know, and then we had TV the next day. So, you know, after a while, we're like, oh, you know. Deborah was with us. So at the end of the night, I was in Shreveport, Louisiana. At the end of the night, boom, the lights come on the bar. Not the, well, we were there late. Light comes on in the bar to get up. That guy got up. He's like, a lot of guys did that. And, you know, people, especially, you know, most folks were nice. And you always got that one guy, hey, I'll drink you under the table here. You know, of course, back in the day, I could handle my hotkey, or back in the early days, it was whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was living with Gordy, we stayed at the Falcon Rest, which my daughter says would be a great TV show. Because it was a little two-story motel in Atlanta that was nothing but wrestlers. Brody, Buck Robley, French Angel, Bobby Eaton, just a den of horrible, I mean, unbelievable stuff would happen there.
Oh, wow.
But I forgot where I was going with that.
Well, it does sound like it'd make a hell of a TV show with that crew of guys. How long would you all be staying at this hotel, like for an extended period?
Yeah, it was an extended stay. Oh, that's where I was saying we were doing so much whiskey. I was living with Gordy. Miss T was the manager. We broke our door so often, she quit fixing it.
Yeah,
me and Gordy living together. We wrestle and fight each other all the time, you know.
Oh, okay.
It's like, rah, 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 you know, back in the day, kids, two young guys would wrestle. Me and Doc did that all the time, too. And back in the day, that we'd have Deborah with us. She'd stop and go get the food. Me and Doc would get out of the car and run down the road, because we're both ex-football players. We used to run, you know. And we're both competitive. We're like, of course, he was younger.
Well, and that's why. Now, I do wonder, Jim, you know, I know that you were like a state champion in New York as a heavyweight. How did you do against Doc, who was an NCAA champion?
Well, we never shot. We definitely would roll around with each other, but it never got where he respected my deal where he wouldn't make a move on me and I didn't make a move on him.
Ah, okay.
But we would roll around, but never actually took it to the mat and win. But plus, there was never a mat. You know, the ring is much different than a wrestling mat.
Right. Yeah, being on canvas as opposed to being on like a soft mat, I'm sure that
Like
could
the
really.
rubber, yeah, it's like a firm, hard rubber. Yeah, because
Yeah.
you do a lot on the ground. Yeah. But that wasn't a good wrestler. Yeah. I watched the States when I won the States. I'm like, because the guy I beat in the finals, he went on to win the Pan Am Games. He was a good wrestler. I
Wow.
mean, he did takedown after takedown, but I was just stronger than he was. I got him, I got a hold of him, and he couldn't make the escape, and I won by 1 point, but wins a win.
Do you think if
Right.
you would have pursued it, you could have done something like the Pan
Oh, I
Am
was
Games or?
recruited. Yeah, Chris Taylor from Iowa State. They used to call him Wart. He was a big Olympic heavy, super heavyweight wrestler. I went
Yeah.
to Iowa State. I was highly recruited by many, many different universities. I made back then they didn't have a limit on recruiting trips, so I made 7 different trips to 7 different colleges.
Wow.
And Iowa State was one, and that was on a wrestling scholarship. But I knew I just assumed I'd play in the NFL for 10 years, you know.
Oh, I
So
got
that's why when Fritz said, well, you might be a wrestler. I'm like, well, thank you very much. But
that. I'll be in the NFL.
I'll be. And then I was with the Falcons. I had 2 knee surgeries. I went up to Canada playing for the Toronto Argonauts. You know, I could have gone up to Saskatchewan. I'm like, I think I might give that Fritz guy a call. Yeah. I was an offensive guard, you know, dime a dozen. So I gave Fritz a call and said, come on down to the sportatorium. And wow.
Travis Peters is up next. Did you ever get a splinter from the 2x4 as you carried to the ring?
Travis, I was hoping somebody would ask me that question, brother, you know, because really, I carry 2x4s all the time. You know, back in the day, I'd throw it up as high as I could.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, they were like, you seem surprised when you catch it. I'm like, yeah. I'd throw it up, you know, if I had my crossed eyes, I'd throw that thing up. I'd be like, holy shit. Well, I
Especially with the
caught
lights.
it.
With the lights blinding you, it's like
Yeah, I
probably
mean,
tough
you
to
can't see
catch it.
nothing because I never missed it on TV. But one time, though, man, I got this big ass nasty splinter in my thumb. It's sticking out of my thumb.
Oh.
And I went, oh. No.
You never got hit with the 2x4 coming down?
Oh, I'm not that way. Well, I'll tell you the time I did get hit.
All right.
All right. Yeah. Because when I was in the ring and I would throw it up as high as I could, I'd get out from underneath it and I'd catch it over here. And I had already planned if I ever missed it, I was going to drop an elbow on it and cover it, get to 1, 2, 3 on the 2x4. Got to have
Smart.
some plan in case you
Yeah.
missed it. But I never missed it. Knock on wood, not that I'll ever throw the board up again. But when you're outside the ring, excuse me, when you roll outside the ring and you're in between the ring and the barricade, then I would throw it straight up over me and I'd catch it like this because I don't want to throw it up over the fans. And
Right.
if I throw it over the ring, I won't be able to catch it. So I'm working with Earthquake and Jimmy Hart, and boom, we're both out of the ring. I'm going to get the board and come hit Earthquake with it. But I don't remember Mike McGurk.
Yes,
Yeah,
yes.
Mike was a very pretty little blonde-haired girl. We flirt back and forth all the time and have fun together. Well, Mike's sitting ringside. She's a timekeeper. She's all dressed up, and she's got a big pair of spike red heels on, you know, high heels. So I roll out of the ring and standing there next to Mike. I throw the board up. I look down. I go, I like those shoes, Mike.
Got a little distracted.
I turned back around, boom, boy, hits me in the I don't go down, but I'm staggered pretty good, man. You know, the crowd, they pop like hell. They love
I'm sure Deborah's off screen right now, like, good. I'm glad
Oh,
you
yeah,
got
well,
it.
yeah, he knows Mike, you know, what the hell? Nothing going to happen there, right? Remember, said Deb asked Deb, are you worried about Jim being around all those young, beautiful divas? Deb was like, no. But
You're like, hey, come on.
anyway, so I roll in the ring. Jimmy, of course, Jimmy's wound 110% tight. Jimmy's jumping around the ring. You're bleeding, baby. You're bleeding. You're bleeding, baby. You're bleeding. I bleed. I do pretty good. Right? So I do pretty good. Earthquake, boom, gives me the finish. 1, 2, 3. I go back to the dressing room. Paramedics are back there waiting for me. I'm like, what happened? What happened? What happened? I'm like, hit myself with a board. They're like, what? I hit myself with a board. Yeah, I hit myself with a board. No, Jack Lanz is the agent that night. He goes, "Duggan, that was great. Can you do it again tomorrow night?" He
Don't
got
think
such
so
a
yet.
pop, got the pop of the night.
Oh no, that was going to be your new gimmick,
So the main
busting
events
yourself
following
open.
us are like, "Thanks, Duggan." Yeah, I learned one thing. Yeah, years ago, when I was a learning process in wrestling, I'm working for Mid-South, or yeah, it was Mid-South, and the Junkyard Dog had a hot finish and was going to be a run-in. And I figured, I have run-ins. Everybody always just runs in like I want to come in like I was in the shower. So I got all soaped up. I'm all soapy, much. And then I ran in, and that took away from the finish.
Oh.
So yeah, Dog was a little hot about that. I wouldn't realize what I was doing, but I came in. Everybody's like, "Oh, Hacksaw's all in suds," and it was a hot finish. So
I
it's a
gotcha.
learning process. Wrestling is more than just flying around.
Right. And it's kind of like learn as you go, as you were saying, like the convict thing didn't really work out, and it's like, okay, you just try new stuff every night, right? That was sort of the way it was done back in the day.
Yeah, try different deals and find something you're comfortable with. And of course, Hacksaw was, through a lot of whiskey and other substances, sitting around a kitchen table with Buck Robley and Bruiser Brody, as I went from Pensacola to San Antonio. And when I went from Pensacola to San Antonio, that's when I became Hacksaw.
Do you remember? Did you come up with Hacksaw? Did Buck
The
come up with it for you?
three of them sitting around the kitchen table trying to come up with something. They're like, "You got to work with Brody tomorrow." Wild man Duggan ain't working. And how
Hacksaw
about
is.
this? How about that? How about Hacksaw with Buck Robley and Bruiser Brody? I'm like, "Yeah, that'll work." People are like, "You're Hacksaw Duggan, but you carry a 2x4." It should be 2x4 Duggan.
I cut it with a hacksaw.
Yeah, I
There
said
you
it's
go.
wrestling. It doesn't have to make sense.
Now, do you remember, were you Hacksaw before Butch Reed?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
I
we're gonna
was
have
in
to look that up.
Mid-South before Butch came in as Hacksaw.
Well, there you go. So that counts.
But yeah, I know. Yeah. And I got along with Butch, man. Yeah, it worked good. We had the Battle of the Hacksaws,
Yeah, it actually a good storytelling device then.
Yeah.
Jay Martin is next. How was it making your Rumble return in 2009?
Oh, that was great, man. That was great. It really was. Because nobody expected it, including me. Yeah. Nice. It was a great pop. It really was. And of course, and then they put me over. I went down there, and everybody was taking bumps for me, bingy the bang the boom. And I think the Big Show put me out. And I joke, yeah. He tossed me. But when I went back through the curtain, Vince McMahon was there. And he said, "Jim, come here." He says, "That was a hell of a sign of respect out there. The kids showed you." I said, "Yeah, I appreciate that. The kids, everybody really put me over, even the top guys."
It was a hell of a moment. And then not long after, Jim, you were kind of back on a sort of full-time basis with
Yeah, I
WWE,
was
right?
back under contract. Yeah, like I said, the WWF was my heyday, but I was under a talent contract with WWE. Then they put me with Super Crazy for a while.
Yeah.
I had a good time with Super Crazy until he was kayfabing me on speaking English. I caught him on the plane.
Really?
Where they were handing out sandwiches, and the lady went by without a sandwich, didn't give Crazy a sandwich. He's like, "Hey, a sandwich." And I'm like, "Ah!" And you speak English, Super Crazy.
Why was he kayfabing you?
I don't know. It was just a period of a couple of days, just kind of
Oh,
rippling
okay.
them. And then they put me with Eugene for a while. They tagged me up with Eugene. And then they flirted with, I wish they had run with it. I don't know why they didn't. They did a deal where DiBiase's kid and Dusty, Cody, went to the ring and were cutting a promo about the old timers. And me and Lawler came out. And
Yes.
they kind of tested that waters, but they didn't run with it.
Yeah, I wonder because I remember that angle and they were like really insulting you guys and stuff. And I think at first you were like very dejected, but then you were ready to fight them. And then, yeah, it's and
Oh
nothing
yeah,
really
well,
came
even
of it.
I mean, even towards the end, I mean that playing a part on television. The last time they brought me in, Rusev broke my 2x4. I'm like,
That's right.
give me my check.
I guess
know,
you.
you know what I mean? You know, I'm not worried about my legacy in wrestling or nothing like that. You know, I'm not many how win losses I've had. You know, so how well I've provided for my family. That's the my formula for success. People say, "Well, you weren't the most successful wrestler in the business." I think no. I think I'm one of the more successful wrestlers in the business. I'm still around. I live a normal life. I do a lot of charity work. I put two daughters through college. I never had to go to rehab for booze or drugs. It's been a good life for me.
Not to mention, like I in my mind, I think if you're gainfully employed in professional wrestling for more than 10 years, like man, you've had a hell of a career in pro wrestling, and you were
Oh
in it
yeah, and like I
perfect.
said, I invested in a pair of boots and trunks. And I, because I never was, that was it. There's nothing fancy, Dan, about Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Just a 2x4 and the flag of the United States of America. Oh, I'm fired up now, honey. Hang on, here I go,
Hey, you got me ready to go shake
brother.
my
He's still,
flag
yeah, you
outside.
kidding? And that's why they come up with these gimmicks. I'm like, just put me in there with somebody anti-American.
Easy as
Or have
that.
the place chant USA, especially back in the day. God, it
A
wasn't rocket science, you know?
little bit earlier, Jim, you mentioned Dolph Ziggler and how you saw like the main event potential in him, and what we were just talking about reminded me. Dolph Ziggler was released from WWE here recently after 17 years with the company, and a lot of people were like, "Oh, well, he never quite reached his maximum potential." And I'm like, he was with the company for 17 years. Like
Yeah,
that is.
15 years. Are you kidding? One of the more successful guys in the that was like God, Steve Lombardi.
Yes.
Yeah, everybody busts Lombardi's chops. I got along okay with Steve, but he hung around for a hard to stick around. There's only so many spots in wrestling, and a lot of people want those spots.
And
And
it
for you
seems
to
like,
have one and hang on for that long, yeah. And
man,
I like, you know, Dolph's a good guy, yeah.
it
And
seems
I
like Steve
wrestled
had
Dolph, you
the,
know, I
oh,
actually
that's
wrestled
right.
Dolph. Yeah, he was in
When,
the Spirit Squad.
oh, that's right. That's
Yeah.
right. I was like, I feel like I remember you two being in the ring, but what were the circumstances
Yeah, it
that
was
was
the
it?
Spirit Squad, and I think it was me and Super Crazy. Maybe I don't know what the exact deal was, but we were in there with this the Spirit Squad because I got along with I can't think of the young guy, the shorter one of the guys,
Oh God, is that
Mickey,
Mikey? Mikey or
Mikey.
Mickey E?
Yeah, Mikey, good guy. Actually, they all stayed at my house, and I joke. I said, Mikey tried to push Deborah down the stairs.
They
I
are
wonder what the
heels.
hell they were doing upstairs in the first place. No, you know, the we joke about it, but he took like a little bump on my stairs when he was staying at the house. Yeah.
Well, Jim, a lot of talents were released, with this big change here in WWE. Any advice that you would get, because, it's not like back in the day when you would, okay, WWE's over, I'll go to another territory. There's not a lot of options left anymore.
Well,
What kind of
there's
advice
more
would you
now than
give to
there was
these?
for a long time, brother. You know, for a
That.
long time, WWF was the only game in town. And then be, when they took over W for a long time. Yeah, but you can make a decent living on the indies. But now at least you have the other company down there.
AEW.
AEW. Yeah. But yeah, guy. But I was just talking to a promoter for Big Time Wrestling. He said the young guys are pretty much prima donnas. They come in and they come off TV. And of course, you're coming off TV. It's hard to judge your value on an indie show. You know, you got to be remember they're going to fly you in, they're going to put you in a hotel, and they're running a high school gym. So big payoff's not going to be there.
And
But put a bunch of but you can make a living doing. Yeah, I enjoy the indies. The indies have been good to me. I have fun. And it's great for the fans. If the fans have never been, because you sit closer to the ring, it's cheaper, you get to meet the guys, and you get to pick the kids that are going to move up.
I know that like Matt Cardona, for example, like he got released by WWE, I think in 2020, and I think he's actually making more money now than he was in
Oh,
WWE. So
yeah, I'm
like
sure. Yeah, Matt's quite the businessman too. He's he'd be no matter what business he's in, that would be doing good. But in wrestling, he's really excelling. You know.
Very, very bright man. Ryan Connolly is next, Jim. Hopefully, you guys will do a deep dive on your feud with Macho King and Queen Sherry for the crown. But as a tease, how were both of them to work with?
Macho Well, Sherry was great. I love Sherry. And I love Macho. Me and Macho got along, and Deborah and Liz got along. And so Deborah would be on the road a lot. So the three women would be Deborah, Sherry, and Elizabeth. So they all kind of knew each other.
Oh, cool.
But anyway, I joke, working with Macho, what you saw on TV was pretty way the Macho Man was. He was round pretty tight, you know. I joke, he'd go to McDonald's. He'd be like, "Oh, the milkshake, fries, and a burger. Oh, yeah. Step into it." And I'd be like, "Mach, you know, take it down a little bit, brother. Take it down. It's down, Duggan. It's down low. It's down real low." So I went to these.
So what? Yeah, really.
But Mach was wound pretty tight. And of course, he was very controlling of Liz. But we worked together in the ring, even though Macho was a good wrestler. I wasn't a good wrestler. You know, I joke, I was a brawler. You know, Macho was a wrestler. He could put in with Ricky the Dragon or Kurt Hennig or DiBiase. They'd have a great wrestling match, you know. They could go 20 minutes, you know. And they go 7 or 8 and brawl for a while, you know. So, but we made it work, especially with Sherry ringside, you know. Sherry, and more to it, the referee's a big part of the match. The more components, I think, the better. I like the more stuff going on in the ring. But anyway, this one time in particular, Macho, boom, he hangs me off the apron. So I've got the ropes like here, my head's hanging off the apron. And so Sherry's supposed to hit me. And Macho takes the referee, and I'm hanging her over the apron. I can feel Sherry coming. She takes a big swing. She misses me about this much.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no shit. Oh, no. And now here comes number two. And she's going to overcompensate.
Oh, yeah.
Now this time it's like.
Oh, jeez.
She crushes me, man. I mean, she just knocked the hell out of me. Now I roll in the ring. I'm mad as hell. And Roger goes, "It wasn't me. It was her."
You just need to take it out.
But see, Macho, he beat me for the crown, right? For the cape and crown when I was a king. And I had Harley's original cape and crown, you know, and it was pretty torn up. But plus, Harley's crown was like a bushel basket. Harley had a head. It would sit like this on me, you know. Poor Macho's head was like a pinhead. There's no way he was going to wear that crown. So he got a whole new crown and scepter and all that. They dress it up for Macho.
Man, what a fun time. And I know a lot of people look back on those videos today, even all these years later, and remember.
Oh, I tell you, though, I watched one on YouTube of Doc and Gordy. They walked and talked for 10 minutes. They tied up. They're like, "Yeah, how about the chick ringside over here? Where? Over here. Look at this." It was bad. I said they would have booed him out of the building. Ah, different business nowadays. You know, you can't work a headlock, you know.
Yeah, that was back in the days when you could actually make it kind of look like a wrestling match out there in the ring, where you're actually kind of like,
and then, like, depending on the house, because you were working every day, so you'd have to pick your shots. Right. Bigger show, you bust your butt. They didn't have pay per views back then, but just big shows, you'd work hard. Then La Ronja, Louisiana, 200 people in the building, throw me out of the ring. We're all staying at the Marriott.
I assume that's to a group of girls on the outside.
Oh, well, you know.
We'll see you at the Marriott. A couple more.
That was Flair. Shit, he get on the mic, right? And after I get done kicking his butt, I'm going to be at the airport Marriott. I mean, back in the day, you just get the overflow from Ricky and Robert. You know, they'd be lined up in the hallway.
We'll do a couple more and I'll let you go, Jim. Next up, we've got Ryan Purvis, who asked, "Jim, was there anything that you said on Dark Side of the Ring that they left off of the Doink episode that you wish they would have left in?"
They came to, it's unbelievable. They came to the house. It was a three camera shoot. There was probably six, seven guys, maybe. They stayed here for probably 3 hours, to get the kids, Marcus, to get the camera set up, the
Yeah.
sound, boom, boom, boom. And they used what, 30 seconds. I mean, they paid real well. That was good. I didn't have to go anywhere. They paid me here at home. But they think I think the Dark Side of the Ring, they made it seem to come from the lawsuit in Mid-South where he kicked the guy. I punched him and Matt kicked him when he down. Oh, imagine what kind of guy would do that.
Right.
So and then I'm the one that got sued. I'm the one that as Matt was living out of the back of his car, I had a home. I was living in Louisiana, so he sued the company, the building. And and me, the company in the building settled out of court. I was young and dumb. I went to court. I lost a lawsuit for excessive force. Then I appealed it. But anyway, they seem to put that on that. Actually, I think it reverts back more to Baton Rouge when we had the fight in at the Centroplex where DiBiase was. We had the fight in the hallway. Ernie Ladd broke it up. I went to into the dressing room with Teddy. And he came in, in and over, and I really worked him over pretty good then. I think that was so we had a little history, but they didn't say nothing about the Centroplex fight. I thought, and I thought that's where they were going to go with it, but they went with the lawsuit side.
I
There's two
gotcha.
kind of two thoughts. Looking
Now,
back at it.
do you feel like they kind of positioned him as almost like a tragic hero too much? Because I mean, the guy, and I know that you're not a fan of him. That they almost kind of, like, oh, this tragic story of like a decent guy who went up against, some terrible, situations. I don't know. Do
Funny
you?
they always kind of do that. I was just this week with a guy like Tito Santana. They never put a guy like Tito over. There was a guy with his wife just retired from teaching. His boys went to an Ivy League school. I mean, there's a guy, if you want to say, yeah, there's but they want to say, well, he went to rehab and he pulled himself back up. Well, how about the guy that doesn't have to go to rehab?
Right.
Says
The
something
guy.
about them. There's, So yeah, what they did with Matt, I watched that one time to see my 30 seconds of fame.
All that work.
And shoot, it was fun. Then I did the one with Junkyard Dog. I haven't even seen that one yet, but I mean, it was nice to do that kind of stuff right here at the house.
Yeah, amazing. And hopefully they'll have you back on there because it's always awesome to hear from you and see you on there.
Yeah, they use that 30 seconds. I mean,
That
God.
30 seconds was
Because,
something
well,
else.
it takes you an hour to set up, right? So, and cameras and all that. People don't realize television, how much waiting there is in television. I mean, there's a lot of wait. That's why Vince wouldn't let us play cards,
Why is that?
Well, we'd be playing cards back there, and it'd be like, because we'd be waiting all day. Finally, the show start, you'd be like in the middle of a game, you'd be in there playing, all of a sudden, like, be dun, 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 dun. Is that my music? That's my music. Oh shit! Where's my board? No more cards.
Jim, we'll do one more and I'll let you go. It's from Brad Stanton, and Brad asks, do you still have your LJN figure? If you have extra, can I have
No,
it?
I tell you, Poughkeepsie Joe, a guy up in Poughkeepsie. That was had a collectible store. Gave me my first one. Now over the years, I've been able to collect three. Two were indeed. Well, Joe gave me a real nice one, and the other two are kind of in rough shape. But I'll tell you, excuse me. I tell you the Poughkeepsie Joe. I'll tell you this story. I'm doing a show for this guy up in New Jersey, and we have to go to Philly now. I got to go back to Newark. I'm flying out the next day. This is my first show with this guy. Seems like a nice guy. But I don't know him. And we stop at the rest stop on the side of the Garden State Parkway, right? So I go in the bathroom. I'm going to the bathroom. As I come out, this guy right out of the Sopranos. He comes around the corner. Boom, we bump into each other. I kind of step on his foot. He's like, "You stepped on my shoes." I'm like, "Well, you bumped into me." He's like, he's got the tie on. He's right out of the deal. Now his buddy comes over. Now there's two of them
Oh
right
boy.
now. And I can see the revolving doors. As I see Joe, who's just an average guy, Joe comes in, he sees what's going on, and he goes right back outside. So now, I'm arguing with these two guys, and as we're arguing back and forth, all of a sudden Joe comes back in. The argument kind of settles down. I'm walking back out. Joe comes in. He went in, and he put his wallet and his watch in his car, and he came back in to help me. So I always
Wow.
will put over Poughkeepsie Joe, man.
How
Uh,
about
something,
that?
or nothing ever happened, but he, I thought that was very cool that he would have my back. You know, some guys that own reptiles would be down the road.
Not Jake. When you first saw an action figure of yours, Jim, like this LJN, which I think was your first action figure, like you go into a Walmart or whatever, you see yourself there, what's that feeling like? It's got to be wild.
That was great. I mean, it was so exciting, especially they just were coming out, you know, the solid rubber action figures. I mean, that was it was Barbie, G.I. Joe, and WWF action figures. I mean, they were us. And that was I bought my first Cadillac with my first action figure money, man. That's from the story where the guy tried to break my Cadillac. That's a whole other story.
Yeah.
But one thing I regret though, because I didn't have my daughters till I was 40, so I had them towards the end of my career, and so they didn't get to appreciate that. You know, that would have been neat to go into the store. You know, there's even now it's hard to find any new action figures. I don't know why. I'm not the kind of the black sheep of the WWE, I guess. I don't know, but you never see any current stuff. But it'd
Yeah.
been nice to have the girls when they were little is be highlighted like that, because you were on everything. Big wheels, lunch boxes, hockey games, all kinds of merchandise.
Right.
It was neat.
I know that WWE a couple years ago made a couple of extra action figures of you. So there's some out there for sure. Do you own all of them or not so
Oh
much?
yeah. I over the yeah, we're trying to get, at least get two, one for each of the girls, you know. And of
Right.
course, we just pack about Matt Cardona with the Bendys.
That's right. Yes.
The Bendy figures. I got a about the he, I don't know, I gotta look over that contract with Matt. He sent me about 30 of
All right.
them. Is
Hey, wait a minute.
this it? I mean, is there another shipment coming? No. Like I said, he's a shrewd businessman.
You'll have to get those
No,
on.
I gotta talk to you about getting them on HacksawJimDugganShop.com.
That's what I was just going to say. We've got to get those
Stuff
up
in,
on
I'm
Hack.
stuck in the plug.
Well, it's perfect timing. We're at the end of the show. Guys, he
Okay.
said it. HacksawJimDugganShop.com. It's got some signed memorabilia over there, and it sounds like we're going to be adding some major Bendy
Bendy.
figures signed by Jim himself, and plenty of other stuff that'll be coming down the pike there. So go check that out.
Two
Also,
by fours,
he's got 2x4s
they're all
on there.
right-handed two by fours.
Oh, so lefties. Sorry,
And
guys.
watch for splinters.
Based on that story, you want to watch out for splinters. Also, if you can't make it out to see Jim in a signing, go to cameo.com/HacksawJimDuggan. It's awesome. I mean, Jim's got great reviews on there from everybody who's bought a cameo from him. So if you'd like a little personalized experience, a birthday greeting, a gift for someone else, that's your spot. It's cameo.com/HacksawJimDuggan. And we're having fun here on adfreeshows.com. Jim, I really appreciate the time today, brother.
Always fun talking to you, Marcus.
I always have a
But
blast with you
you know
too.
what we got to do before we go, brother? Because I tell you, just got to get some blood flowing. You
Let's get it
ready, kid?
going.
Here we go, buddy.
Here we go.
Ho!
Oh!
All right, honey. Yes.
Deborah
She's
did it
all
too.
dressed up. Yeah, she's got the outfit on.
All right, she's in. And
Yeah,
we will
you're
see.
kidding after. Never mind.
Well, so I don't want you to get yourself in trouble. We'll see you guys next time right here on the Hacksaw Hour.
Have a good one, everybody.
2x4 and his hacksaw tough guy. No one is the hacksaw.